Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining me on the line now from Ho Chi Minh City, Eric Olander, journalist and entrepreneur. Eric has been a longtime resident in Ho Chi Minh. Eric, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Mornings.
A very good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Eric, what is the latest in Ho Chi Minh and across Vietnam? We heard you had some good news today.
Yeah, today was a nice milestone. It's the first day since March 6th where there hasn't been reported a new case. Prior to March 6th, we went 22 days without any new cases. Overall, there's about 240 cases. That number fluctuates by day, as it does in every country. But 240 cases for a country of almost 100 million people is pretty remarkable, actually. And no one really seems to have a strong grasp as to why it is that Vietnam has had this success. But the government seems to have really taken this very seriously and acted much earlier than other countries. And that might be partially why we're seeing success today.
You know, forgive me for a slightly cynical or devil's advocate type question, but is that because that there just hasn't been the testing and the reporting, or is it truly because the government has really done a great job of getting ahead of it?
You know, who really knows? And I won't sit here and pretend that I have a definitive answer. But what we can see on the ground are, you know, the facts as they are. You know, COVID has a very interesting way of exposing lies. And so if a government says it's not happening and yet the hospitals are filling up and the stores are emptying and there's a sense of panic on the street, you know there's a discrepancy. That's not what we're seeing here in Ho Chi Minh City and in other Vietnamese cities. The hospitals are not overwhelmed. The clinics are not overwhelmed. Pharmacies are not reporting huge, you know, traffic. And pharmacies are very important because in a developing country like this, this is where a lot of people get primary care treatment, is on the street side pharmacies. So there are some facts on the ground as they stand that indicate that what the government is saying is actually in line with the reality. Whether or not the lack of testing is contributing to the lower numbers, that may be true to some extent. But we don't feel the run on supplies that and the also the panic that we see in other countries. That may come yet, but so far since February, things have been relatively stable here. And in many ways, that highlights some success that the government has. And I think that they deserve a little bit of praise.
Well, that's great news to hear. And let's hope that that continues on and that you can also say in coming days that there are no new cases to report as well. What is life like on the ground, on the street there every day? I know you guys have been more or less kind of sheltering in place for a couple of months now as a family. But what is it like for everyone else? Is it, can you go out and get supplies you need and that sort of thing? What is it like?
Yeah, the shelter in place order, and we had a very strict lockdown order comparable to what are in other countries that came down on April 3rd or April 2nd, sometime or late last week. We haven't really seen a huge difference. A lot of people are off the streets. The stores are closed. There's no restaurants, only takeout. Very similar types of procedures that we're seeing in other countries. What is different here, though, is that there is a little bit more flexibility. They're not doing the active enforcement. There were pictures from the beaches in Nha Trang, central Vietnam, where lots of people were out there. So it doesn't seem like they're doing like what they did in China, where they kind of deployed law enforcement and did things like that. People, though, the everyday person is taking it very seriously. You know, everybody's wearing a mask. People are off the streets. There is a little bit of condemnation towards people, like, you know, shaming if you're not wearing a mask, if you're not clearly washing your hands. You know, people in supermarkets are pointing out other people who are not, you know, behaving according to the rules. The supermarkets now force you to disinfect before you come in your hands. It's required to wear a mask. And the everyday person's taking that seriously. And that's really kind of cool because it's not all up to the government to say, do this and do that. We as a community also have a responsibility here. Interestingly enough, and you know, this might be of interest to your listeners, the problem that we're having here and the problem that's also happening in Hong Kong is not with Vietnamese, but with expats. Expats are causing a little bit of some tension in the community, in part because they're not wearing masks oftentimes. There was an incident a couple weeks ago where the infections spurred back up again because a British pilot, went to an expat bar at a St. Patrick's Day party, and that sparked out a lot of infections. And so there's this sense, a little bit of frustration with foreigners, that foreigners are not taking the mask wearing as seriously. And you feel that a little bit on the streets as well. So we make sure that when we're going out, we only wear masks. We're sheltered in place, though, only going to food and hospitals. That's the law right now, and that's what most people are doing. Certainly schools have been closed since February, actually.
And Eric, as you look around, this interesting idea of kind of society policing itself, as can happen, you know, only in some Asian countries, I think, safe to say, more than many Western countries. Do you get a sense now that, you know, some of the people, as you mentioned, that weren't paying attention, perhaps expats and others, are now starting to get it and trying to understand, like, oh, wait, we do have to take this seriously?
Yes and no. I mean, I was in a store just 2 days ago, and there was two middle-aged British women who refused to wear masks. And I just, you know, and again, it creates a tension because there's a sign clearly on the front of the door that says if you're to enter the store according to the law, it is a law now that you have to wear a mask in public. And the mask does, you know, two things. One, there is a health benefit to it, but it doesn't necessarily protect you against COVID. You know, you need the N95s and the, you know, very particular mask. But the mask says to everybody else around you that you are taking this seriously. And when you don't wear the mask, it communicates to people that, you know, you're different, you're not taking this seriously. And that's one of the key differences that I notice in Asia versus, say, in the U.S. or other Western countries, where my individualism counts more than the communal. And here, I think the mask telegraphs to the community, we're all in this, we're doing this. Yes, it doesn't necessarily protect you from everything, but it does telegraph a social message. And that social message, I think, is just as important right now when we're all trying to keep our heads stable through this very, very difficult time.
Sure. And now, I know for weeks the foreign flights have been stopped. The tourism is basically at zero, if I understand the situation correctly. What are we looking at in terms of the economy in Vietnam? Has the government come out with any measures to help people get through this, businesses, tourism, whatever the other key industries? Of course, manufacturing is big in Vietnam as well.
Manufacturing is very big. And you think about what, you know, a lot of the manufacturing started to flow down from China, as partially because of what was happening in the early stages of COVID, but also because, you know, costs in China have been going up. And last year, you know, there was a real boom in manufacturing here. And manufacturing is a lifestay of the economy, in part because it employs a lot of people, it generates revenue, it does a lot, it has a lot of net benefits for it. And also, it's very, very dangerous in a pandemic. I mean, having lots of people together in a big room making stuff is very dangerous. They've held on to manufacturing for as long as they could, but that the manufacturing has also come down quite a bit. Manufacturing is one part of it, but the supply chains are the other part that bring the materials in from China. Because the trade from China has stopped effectively, the port activity has stopped. So even if you want to continue here, you can't get the raw materials in order to kind of continue your manufacturing. Agriculture's been hit. The disruptions have been massive. And you have to think, for a developing country like Vietnam, where outside of Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, life is not easy in the countryside. They are getting hit disproportionately by the gyrations in the global economy. Tourism is another part. It has effectively gone down to nothing. There is now, the borders are closed, so you can't come back. And one of the reasons they wanted to stop it was because returnees coming in from Europe and the U.S., overseas Vietnamese, were bringing COVID with them.
Yeah.
And so we had a real big surge of cases because of the returnees coming from overseas. That was a problem. The other issue that we have to focus on in terms of the economy are remittances. Lots of overseas Vietnamese working in the Gulf, in the U.S., in Europe, who send money back home. But since their economy now is impacted, they're not sending as much money back to relatives here as well. So billions of dollars in remittances help keep a lot of the Vietnamese countryside afloat. So the impact is being felt far and wide.
Is there any indication from the government of any stimulus type packages or relief for individuals or for businesses?
It does. They are. I mean, I don't know the details exactly on it, and it's one that's evolving very, very quickly. But the government is trying to be proactive in terms of offsetting some of the downturn. This is a government, though, that has had some difficulties in doing that in the past, but they're definitely trying to be proactive on doing it. And they've been, again, they see the threat, I think, the same way that a lot of countries see the threat, that if this, you know, gets hold here, and the Saigon, one of the Saigon political leaders said this the other day, and said, if COVID gets, you know, its hooks into Saigon, the situation will be as bad as it was in Italy. And what their concern is that in a country like this that has, you know, a healthcare infrastructure that is, you know, moderate at best, I mean, certainly nothing compared to what you have in Singapore, it could easily be overwhelmed, I mean, within days or weeks. And that's one of the reasons why I think they've been trying to be more proactive. They don't have the resources that China has or Singapore has to fight this. So the best thing that they can do is try to be proactive. They have increased testing, but it's still, this is still, remember, it's still a very poor country.
Yeah. Eric, any indication when they might start to ease up on some of the restrictions now that you've had some success, or is it too early to even talk about that?
No, it's not. I mean, it's funny because we were almost back at school. In fact, we got a notice from our school saying, this was in mid-March, saying, get ready, everybody, Monday, we're going back to school. And then we had a flare-up of cases. So we have been on the edge of getting back to normalcy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's a blooming of cases and we get pulled back. So right now it's, early May is when the new kind of forecast for when the kids can go back to school. And the school in some ways is your early indicator of when things are starting to improve. And we've been on the cusp. Again, they're really worried that if they let their guard down and this thing blows up, then there's no pulling it back. But early May right now is the issue. And for, very important here, just as in China, is the university entrance exams and the high school entrance exams. They delayed them by a month. They really want to try and keep those entrance exams on schedule. And that's what they're shooting for. So they're trying to get at least the high school kids back by May. That's the priority right now in schools is getting high school kids back in class.
Very interesting. Our thanks to Eric Olander, journalist and entrepreneur based in Ho Chi Minh City, the latest on what's happening with COVID-19 in Vietnam. Thanks for your time today, Eric.
Thanks so much, Glenn.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.